From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, let's take a walk on the paranormal side. Here's what's happening. If you receive the first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, make sure you get the second. Experts are stressing this, even if you're concerned about the possible side effects following the second dose of either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, both of which require two doses. But they say get that second shot. New research suggests that the protection of the Moderna vaccine against COVID-19 lasts for about 6 months, and then you might have to redo it. Dr. John Curtis heads up OnlineColumnist.com, and well, his assignment for us this week was to check in on COVID. What do you have for us this week, John?
Well, you know, George, you know, vaccines right now are at a record pace. There are 150 million shots in people's arms, you know, in the first 100 days of this administration. But, you know, there's major surges that are going on in New York, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, you know, all, you know, in several in New Jersey.
Yep.
And they don't have enough vaccines. So, you know, the problem is logistics in terms of supplying the places, because what's happening is some people are having appointments for vaccination. They're signing up online. They're showing up at vaccine centers. They're being told on the day that they're there that there are no vaccines left, or there are only vaccines left for people for their second shots. So I think, you know, one of the strategies right now, I mean, I think the country is pretty much opened up right now. It's very very few places where it's still restricted.
Right. It's not 100%, though.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
and,
you know, it's, you know, like 50% capacity. I think L.A. is still 25%.
Yeah, I mean, and the nation in general is 40% first shot vaccinated and 23% for people that are double vaccinated right now. So they've got a ways to go yet. But the problem is that we've got people with these new variants going on, and people are completely relaxing right now, not wearing masks, going in public, you know, places just like they did prior to the pandemic. They're flying at record numbers right now. I mean, I think, you know, the fact that the vaccines are out and people are getting vaccinated has reassured people enough that, you know, this eventually is going to diminish. But we really don't know how long these shots are going to last. You know, the estimates of 6 months or 4 months, it's all very individual. And it's quite clear to me that these vaccines are going to require boosters and probably not that long down the road for people, because there are many cases, hundreds, thousands of cases right now of people who were double vaccinated and got COVID. Again, some of which were fatal cases of COVID. So it's no guarantee for people that they can resume life, you know, pre-COVID life as usual, simply because they've gotten vaccinated. They should proceed with a lot of caution right now, because I have to tell you that I think these vaccines are grossly overestimated in real life, not in the laboratory, but in real life, how long they provide protection for people. I think it's a lot less than what they're saying.
You may be right. Track John by going to OnlineColumnist.com. U.S. job openings rose to a two-year high in February, while hiring picked up as a strengthening domestic demand amid the increased COVID-19 vaccinations and additional pandemic aid from the government boosts companies' needs for more workers. Let's check in with investment advisor Charles Koppus. Chuck, what do you think about this? Are we getting back to the job front or not?
Well, it's like you and John just spoke about. You know, they're kind of opening up the economy. These are jobs. It's not really growth. It's just people returning back to work in many cases. And the IMF is predicting about 6% global growth, 8% in China. And there's a few reasons here. I mean, we have optimism, government stimulus, of course. We have low rates. And, of course, the stock market's up. That's a metric everybody kind of watches. Interesting, it's going up even during the Biden administration. Trump always said it was because of what he did. But, It's a risk-on environment in the equity markets, capital markets. I see a lot of risk out there. We're depending way too much on government stimulus, and I hope the best that we can get back to some normalcy, whatever that looks like, George. I mean,
whatever that is, you're right.
You're in Missouri, right?
Right now, that's right.
Yeah, I always keep thinking you're in California, but
I'm all over the map.
Yeah, well, it's. I just hope we can get back to normal, but you know. There's been a study done by Joseph Tainter, a historian. He says the economies that try to maintain the status quo by spending, debt and spending, just get less and less marginal return. We spend $3 for $1 in GDP growth. So the economic outlook doesn't look very good overall. I would just be very cautious going forward at this point.
Chuck, President Biden is contemplating just slicing student loan debt by $50,000. Is that going to happen?
Well, that's part of the stimulus bills. You know, part of that bailing out the pension funds, for example, $80 billion. Pension funds are $4 trillion in the red. They have the moratorium on rents is ending, we know, very soon, and things like that. They've extended some of this, but there's a lot of debt in the economy, a lot of risk out there. So I would, again, I hope for the best, but we're going to see where things go from here.
Chuck's book is called America's Financial Reckoning Day. Thank you, Mr. Kappas. Talk to you next week. NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter has cleared its initial hurdle before the first ever attempt at powered and controlled flight of an aircraft on another planet. This is amazing. The agency reported that the helicopter had survived its first frigid night outside of the Perseverance Mars rover atop the Red Planet's rocky surface. They're going to try for April 11th to get that helicopter flying around. Up next, Mark Walters back with us as we talk about lessons from Armed America. We're going to talk about the Second Amendment in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Mark Walters back with us, a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, broadcast media spokesperson for the Second Amendment Foundation, recipient of the 2015 Gun Rights Defender of the Year Award. He is a national columnist for Ammoland. Mark is also the host of two nationally syndicated talk programs, Armed American Radio and Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. And here he is back on Coast to Coast in a couple of his books, Grilling While Armed and Lessons from Armed America. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a privilege.
How have you been, sir? Everything okay?
Yeah, well, you know, it's crazy times out there, I guess. You know, the fact that we're going down in the 80s and not up, it's nuts out there, isn't it, George?
Oh, it really is. A friend of mine was telling me that ammo for guns is selling at a record high in terms of cost, if you can find it.
If you can find it, the highest that I've seen so far for 9mm was about $1.10 a round. You know, and I go back to the days when I used to take off during my lunch break to go shooting years ago when I was running my business in Tampa, Florida, and I was buying, you know, a 100-round box. I'd stop at the, you know, at the sporting goods store and buy a 100-round box to take to the range and pay about, you know, $9 for the box.
Those oh, my God.
Long.
Those days are gone, aren't they?
They're never coming back, yeah, unfortunately.
You used to have a company that dealt with trucks and brokerages. What? How did you get into the gun rights issue?
It's a great question. I get asked a lot. You know, I ran a truckload bureau. I'd always been into firearms, always been into self-defense, and had owned guns when I moved around the country. And when I settled in Florida in 1992, I started taking my self-defense a little bit more seriously. And I was running a truckload brokerage business. I started a company after I left the corporate world and started a truckload brokerage business. And it was while I was running that company, when I was on my way to work one morning in 2002, my daughter was 2 years old, or excuse me, 2 weeks old at the time. And I was on my way to work at about 6:20 in the morning, and I would have to leave a nicer area of town and drive through an area of Tampa. If those of you in Tampa might be listening, is known as Suitcase City, you know it well. I was on a residential street running just on my way to work, and the car jumped out in front of me. It was a SUV pulled out in front of me. A couple guys got out, jumped all over the car off of my front left bumper and turned their attention toward me, and I happened to have a Glock on my hip that morning, and I was able to draw that gun when they drew the attention on me, when they drew their attention down on me, and stopped anything before it could happen. I never had to fire a shot, thank God. And I became one of those statistics, one of those estimated 2.5 million times that a gun is used across this country to defend an innocent life. And of that, they estimate about 95% of those never fire a shot. I was one of those. And I used to say, George, you know, back prior to that, if a criminal had decided to pick on me prior to that day, they had a 50-50 shot of running into an armed victim. Now it's 100% because I've never left my home without it. But I was determined to go home to my daughter that day. And because I had a gun, my wife was not a young widow. My son would be born a year later.
Mm-hmm.
My two-week-old daughter is now 18 years old. God bless her. Love her to death. And my family is still intact because I had a firearm that day.
And we hear, Mark, so many incredible stories of how concealed weapon permit holders have stopped all these potential problems wherever they may be.
What's unfortunate, we don't hear enough of them, George.
No, not that, enough of them. That's true.
Well, that's because of the media. One of them in particular is probably would have been back in the days when the media, I guess if we could say when the media was honest in this country, let's go back and argue when that was. But when we had ABC, NBC, and CBS, and you got your news at 6:30 to 7.
That's right, the big three.
The big three. And I'm old enough to remember when the TV went to white fuzz at night at midnight, and my dad would make us, if we were awake, stand up for the flag when the TV went off, because it went off at 6 o'clock the next morning.
That's right. You'd hear the Star-Spangled Banner, you'd see the flag, and then all of a sudden,
it was white fuzz, and you went to bed or did something else. I mean, it was pretty much that simple. But back in those days, I think these stories would have made news because they're very compelling. Just about 3 years ago, or 4 years ago now, in 2017, I guess it was, may have been 2018, a Lee County Sheriff's deputy was pulling a car over off of Interstate 75 down in Fort Myers, Florida, when the individual got out of the car, attacked the officer. We'll tell the story short. Attacked the officer, had him on the ground, on his back, was beating him into submission, was trying to reach for his gun, while in today's world, everybody stood by and filmed it on the side of the road while it was happening at a traffic light at the end of an exit ramp on a major interstate highway at 5 o'clock in the evening. When one individual pulled his firearm, his lawfully concealed firearm, approached the deputy who yelled at the man to shoot him. The individual shot the man attacking the deputy. It didn't work. It didn't stop him. The deputy yelled to shoot him in the head. The individual did shoot him in the head, and that stopped the attack. The individual who did that was awarded the highest civilian honor and citation by Lee County that you can get. ABC, NBC, CBS ignored it. Now, what's compelling about this story is the race involved. The individual attacking the deputy was white. The individual attacking the deputy was black. The concealed carry permit holder was black. And in today's day and age, everything seems to be about race. This story never got picked up. Never. This man is alive. The deputy is alive. He was awarded the highest citation the county could give him. And we heard nothing.
Nothing at all. Unbelievable. And full disclosure, I'm a concealed weapons permit holder. I've had this for years. And I was able to get it from the state of Florida because of my military background.
Yeah, Florida started, really, if we look back in 1987, whatever happened in Florida kind of rolled across the country. And it was Florida that curiously gave us the concealed weapon permit system that we currently know today. And we're now seeing the weapons permit itself being rolled back. We now have 21 states in this country as of just this week alone, when Tennessee and Iowa became the latest two states to eliminate the permit requirement. Now is what's called constitutional carry. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you do not need to seek government permission to carry a firearm. You know, kind of like criminals don't.
Interesting. Now, what happens when we have the horrid stories like this whack job in Boulder, Colorado, who killed 10 people? What happens on stories like that when these kinds of folks get guns and do these heinous things? No, but nobody likes that, obviously.
No, of course not. And as gun owners, we're sick and tired of bearing the brunt of the attacks. We're the groups that want this to stop. We're the groups that want these people locked away. We have solutions for these things as best as we can. The first thing that we have to do is we have to understand as human beings that there is evil in this world, George. It exists.
Horrid. That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. We can't begin to have a discussion or take our own self-defense seriously if we fail to recognize that there are bad people on earth who do bad things. And it's tough. It's hard for good, decent people like us to wrap our heads around the fact that there is an individual who will make a decision in his mind to murder people, will march to a gun shop down the street, purchase a gun, and then move to a location that he has picked out in advance, murder four people, then drive to another location and murder two people, then go across the street and murder two more people. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around the fact that people do these things.
That's
but
right.
They do. And the murder that I just described is the Atlanta killings, and I, for disclosure to your audience, which occurred less than 5 minutes from the studio I sit in with you right now. The gun shop he purchased his gun at is a gun shop that I have been frequenting from the day they opened. I know these people, the owners, well. This happened in my neighborhood, basically. The individual went to school with friends of my kids at another high school. This happened here in my neck of the woods, and it's a fact that evil exists. So we want this to stop, and this is proof positive that gun laws, like background checks, because each of the individual killers that we've just mentioned, both Colorado and Atlanta, and I could go down the entire list, have all passed background checks. They've all gone through a waiting period in whatever state there is. These things don't work, period, because criminals violate the law. It's that simple. And when they don't violate the law, they follow the law in these cases, get a background check, and do it anyway. The fact of the matter is there's evil out there, and we have to be able to defend ourselves against it when it chooses to act, not when we think it might act.
Yeah, I'm convinced that these sickos will find some way to kill. If all guns were banned and you were not able to get them legitimately, these sickos would find some way to get an illegal gun or some bomb or dynamite or something. They would do something to kill, wouldn't they?
Well, we just saw that at the Capitol, didn't we? We had Shannon Watts tweet out probably one of the dumbest tweets I've ever seen. She's, of course, the Bloomberg shill, the head of Every Town for Gun Safety, who tweeted out, well, I guess it was in response to Representative Lauren Boebert from Colorado, who said proof positive that it's not just guns. The individual was armed with a car and a knife, and he killed a Capitol police officer. And her response was, well, because guns are outlawed in Washington, D.C., maybe that's why he had a gun and a knife, to which we just roll our eyes and think, you've got to be kidding me. I'm going to commit murder. I'm going to use this tool. To them, it's all about the gun. He didn't have a gun, yet he successfully carried out a crime. So I guess he wanted to murder somebody, what he wanted to be legal in this aspect of the killing. It's ludicrous and it's insane. We've seen this, you know, day in and day out. It's unfortunate, but there are bad people that do bad things. We cannot legislate evil away.
Mark, every time there's a Democratic president elected, we hear that that administration wants to do away with guns, wants to destroy the Second Amendment, and it still has never happened. What is all that talk?
Well, there's a reason that it hasn't happened yet, because we've got millions of hardworking Americans behind the scenes that are fighting the agenda. Gosh, I could go down a million different rabbit holes with you, so why don't we go down a couple of them? We remember Hillary Clinton when she said, the Australian model, I think, is something that will work for the U.S. The Australian model was confiscation, forced confiscation of guns. The British model is something that would work for America, she said. That was forced confiscation of guns. Turn them all in or become a criminal. So I will take you to Joe Biden, because yes, the Democrats want your guns. Don't accuse the crazy gun nut talk radio host, George, or listeners. It's not me. These are actually Joe Biden's words from his own website. But Joe Biden wants to, in a 4 or 5 step process, number one, he wants to hold gun manufacturers accountable. And that means by eliminating the Protections of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. In other words, for what that means to people who might not understand, I'll use the automobile analogy. If a drunk driver is in a Ford F-150 pickup truck and slams into a minivan and kills a family of seven, we should be able, or that family should be able, what's left of that family should be able to sue Ford.
For selling that
truck. For selling the truck or for the actions of the driver. The Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act protects gun manufacturers from being sued by a survivor for the actions of a criminal who chose to use a Smith & Wesson that day. Smith & Wesson had nothing to do. It's a legal product. The gun did not malfunction. The gun did what it was supposed to do in the hands of a criminal. Unfortunately, it was used for a terrible occurrence. Biden wants to do away with that. Why? Because that will bankrupt the gun industry. That's one way we get around that old 200-plus-year-old parchment paper. That was step number one. Number two, he says we want to get weapons. He says, this is on his website, get weapons of war off of our streets. And he talks about the assault weapons ban in 94, which has already been proven to have done absolutely nothing to reduce crime. That's FBI numbers, not mine. We don't have time to go into the Uniform Crime Report, but you can look it up at FBI.gov should you be so inclined.
Hold on for a second, Mark. We're at a break. We'll come back and pick it up right there next on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your calls next hour with Mark Walters. And if you have been involved in a gun episode, maybe one was pulled on you, maybe you were a witness, definitely share your story with us as well. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Mark Walters as we're talking about the Second Amendment. And you were talking about how this administration may want to confiscate guns, Mark. I'll let you finish that up.
Yeah, thanks, George. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. I do appreciate it much. I want to clarify one thing. I want listeners to fact check what we're talking about here. So just for the air of transparency, what I'm looking at so that people can see this is joebiden.com/gun safety. You can see this for yourself. It's not just the crazy gun nut, I promise you. But let me go back to that holding gun manufacturers accountable. In 05, Biden voted against the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. And on his site, it states, this law protects these manufacturers from being held civilly liable for their products, a protection granted to no other industry. That's a bald-faced lie. If my gun malfunctions while I'm on a shooting range and I blow my hand off, you better believe I can sue Smith & Wesson civilly for the malfunction of their product.
That's right.
What we're talking about here is not what they're talking. They're lying. What we're talking about here is so that they can't be sued for the criminal misuse of their product.
By an individual.
So, I mean, this is just a crazy lie. But the media never reports this. They get away with this. So it's important that we have these conversations. The next was getting weapons of war off of our street, he said. And when we talk about what is a weapon of war, okay, I can promise you I have a safe, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 AR-15s. Never once are those considered weapons of war.
All right. I don't think you have a grenade launcher, do you?
No. I wish I had a grenade launcher. It'd be fine, wouldn't they? But Representative Jason Crow from the 6th District in Colorado recently caused a stir when he sent this out. Now, he was a ranger in Afghanistan, and God bless him for his service, but he's lying. He sent this following tweet out. I grew up a hunter and served as an Army Ranger. I didn't take my deer hunting rifle to Afghanistan, nor did I take my assault rifle deer hunting. Don't be fooled by the gun lobby. The type of gun matters. Weapons of war have no place in our communities. Now, let me pick that apart twice quickly. Number one, the Second Amendment is not about hunting, Representative Crow, and you know that. Number two, you were not issued an AR-15 civilian semi-automatic rifle when you went to Afghanistan, and you know that too. So one of two things is happening with Jason Crow. He is ignorant, and I always often said on my show, ignorance when left unattended breeds stupidity because you fail to figure out why you're ignorant, number one, or he is lying. And I have reason to believe, as we discussed on my show yesterday, that he in fact is lying because he knows what I just said is true. An AR-15 is not a weapon of war. So let me go back to Biden's plan to end gun violence. Get weapons of war off of our streets. And he talks about assault weapons. So what is the step that he wants to do there? First off, we have to get the language right. The AR-15 is not a weapon of war. It is a semi-automatic rifle, period, that fires the same caliber. His first step to do that is a three-step process. Is one, ban the manufacture and sale of so-called assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, which essentially means standard-capacity magazines. So what he wants to do is ban them through executive authority, and I quote, while working to pass this banning legislation, which Feinstein, by the way, has already filed in the Senate, Biden will, quote, also use his executive authority to ban the importation of assault weapons. So he thinks he can do that by executive authority. That's his first step while Feinstein moves her legislation through the Senate and onto the Democrat-controlled House. The second bullet point was he wants to regulate possession, because what do we do, George, with the tens of millions of all of these legal guns that hurt nobody right now? What do we do with all of those guns that are out in the wild?
People aren't going to bring them back in.
Of course not. He wants to regulate the possession of those existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act, which is what regulates machine guns. And he wants to do that by taxing you $200, because that's what the NFA does, is a $200 tax stamp that covers SBRs, which would be short-barreled rifles, sawed-off shotguns, for example, short-barreled, quote-unquote, actual authentic assault weapons, fully automatic firearms, and what they call silencers, what we refer to as suppressors. So what that does is create a national registry, because now you have to register them. Then the third step is he wants to buy them all back. Now that he knows where they are, it's right on his website. Buy back the assault weapons and high-capacity magazines already in our communities. That is confiscation of your firearms laid out by the Biden campaign for all of us to see, which is what I go right back, would slide right into home with what Hillary Clinton said. I think we should use the Australian model as an example. New Zealand just did the same thing. Find them, register them, buy them back. First, you can't buy something back you didn't already own, okay? But that's just, you know, softening the language. But that's the steps right there laid out right on Biden's website. So when somebody says, we don't want to take your guns, refer back to Beto O'Rourke. Hell yes, we want to take your guns. Clinton agreed with it when she was running. Biden agrees with it. It's on his website. That's their end game. And it's right there on paper.
And if you think the wackos and the terrorists who have done whatever they've done in this country already would stop if our guns were confiscated, people have another thing coming, because they'd go crazy. They would increase their carnage dramatically.
Well, we know for a fact. Let's go to the Aurora, Colorado shooting, if you want to go back to that. We could go to Newtown, if you'd like to. We could go to Parkland.
Sandy Hook.
We could go to any of these. Sandy Hook. We could go to any of these schools. We know that the killer in each of these instances chose their target because they were soft and unarmed and undefended. We know that. They wrote it in their manifestos. They told us. We can go back to Columbine, which in a, you know, sick, twisted way really kind of began the modern era.
That's right. That was the first.
That was the first of, you know, of the modern school shooting, if you want to call it that, that seemed to have just been a scourge on society, and yet they want to blame me. And, you know, George, I hate bumper sticker logic until bumper sticker logic really makes sense. But if 150 million gun owners were a problem, you'd already know it.
It would be a huge problem.
Well, of course. I know. The numbers would be off the charts. So, you know, again, that's the distinction with a difference between law-abiding gun owners and criminals. And the fact of the matter is we have to understand that evil exists. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around these things. And we have to come to, you know, to some certain conclusions that good people with guns are not the problem. Bad people with guns are. What are we going to do about it? I would suggest we already follow the laws on the books and begin locking these people up. We've got cases in Washington, D.C. today where a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old killed that Uber Eats driver in a carjacking.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
They're going to walk. They're going to walk. And I couldn't help but notice when Shannon Bream on Fox earlier today, as I was waiting to come on the show with you today, I was watching a rerun just to kill some time. And she said, in a carjacking gone wrong. Aren't all carjackings gone wrong? Okay. So words mean things. I look at this and I think we just live in a crazy time. It's nuts.
How do you answer the argument when someone says, okay, so you have your guns, but do you really need semi-automatic weapons? What do you say to those folks?
Sure. That's someone who, unfortunately, is ignorant and doesn't understand a firearm. A semi-automatic weapon is simply a firearm that, through one squeeze of a trigger, through its mechanism, and it's by design, fires one round, feeds another one into the chamber, and then fires another one. It's not a fully automatic weapon. But, again, this is, you know, doesn't it sound scary to say semi-automatic weapon?
Yeah.
And this is the way the left demonizes and hijacks the language. And we knew years ago when we were fighting this battle that they would soon be coming after handguns. And they're going to stop calling them handguns. They're going to start classifying them as semi-automatic weapons. But there's a couple things I'd like to point out. Again, fact check me all day long. Virginia is a prime example. Those of us as gun rights activists have been watching Virginia very carefully, and you've probably seen this as well. When Governor Northam and the Democrats took full power, all three reigns in Virginia for the first time in a quarter century, the first 12 things they did, was attack their citizens' gun rights. They didn't go to fix the bridges and the tunnels. They didn't go to shore up Sandbridge and Virginia Beach from erosion and their climate change. They didn't go after fixing schools They didn't go after fixing the lights up on Afton Mountain that make it so you can see in the fog up there. No. 12 gun control bills. 8 of them passed. Northam signed them into law. So we knew that this was the model that they were going to use should Biden win the election at the federal level. We paid very careful attention to that. And in response, 99 of Virginia's municipalities, 99 out of 100, 99%, I should say, of all of Virginia municipalities declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuaries that declared that they would not enforce unconstitutional gun control against the citizens, including Rappahannock County, which is Governor Northam's own home county. So we saw this remarkable response from the people that said pretty much, not up in here, get off my lawn. I'm not going to put up with your gun control. Now, as they're facing re-election and their weird off-year elections in Virginia, gun control is now eerily off the table because they don't want to run on it because they know it's a losing proposition. Hence why we think you see what's happening at the federal level with Biden now. The gun grabbers, the Bloomberg-funded groups, are all going crazy, wanting to know why Biden hasn't done anything yet. Keep in mind, Biden's only been in office, what, less than 90 days, if you want to look at it that way. Yet they're screaming for gun control. But we've got midterms coming up, and the Democrats feel that they have a pretty good chance of losing the House or losing the Senate. So I don't expect to see much in the form of gun control, maybe some executive action by Biden, but nothing legislatively until the midterms are over. Now, if we don't take the House back, we being if the conservatives or Republicans don't take the House back or don't take the Senate back, and Biden continues to control all three levers of power, you're going to see them go absolutely berserk with gun control. And they will nuke the filibuster to do it.
I would guess that if guns were confiscated, crime would soar, not go down.
Of course. Well, how much time do we have?
You've got some time, sure.
Let's, George, say you and I are criminals, and you and I'd like to play theater of the mind with radio as you do. You and I are sitting in our criminal den, and we're planning, oh, I don't know, let's just say your common run-of-the-mill Friday night liquor store robbery, and you're sitting over in the corner, and you have a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic pistol, and on my lap I have the gun that I currently have in the studio, a Smith & Wesson 686 Plus revolver, .357. And I get chosen by the draw to be the trigger man to go in and actually rob the liquor store with a gun. And I say to you, because Biden's background checks have now passed, and I say to you, hey, if I'm going to go in and rob that liquor store and I'm going to be the trigger man, I want to carry your Colt.
Mm-hmm.
Five. You say to me, well, Biden's background check bill passed. We're going to have to go down to Big Woods Goods and get a background check before you can take possession of it before the robbery on Friday. You would have to be stupid enough to believe, because no criminal ever said that and never will. You would have to be stupid enough to believe that that's how criminals would act. Criminals don't follow the law. So when I can't defend myself and that liquor store owner can't defend himself because criminals are going to just hand each other their guns in violation of the law, you better believe it. In fact, we're seeing it now. The numbers are off the chain in Democrat-controlled cities around this country right now. Murders are up in New York City nearly 200%. And I could go on and on and on. I have covered.
Oh, they just announced their way up in St. Louis. Same thing.
St. Louis is terrible, the murder capital of the country right now per capita. Chicago, Georgia, I've covered tens of thousands of killings over 13 years on national radio. I've read 50, 60, 70 names for those killed on a weekend in Chicago.
And isn't it true, Mark, you hope to God you don't have to pull your gun?
Absolutely. Nobody wants to. The best way to avoid a fight is to, the best way to win the fight is to avoid it at all costs.
Absolutely.
Of course.
I mean, if you're in a bank, and let's say you're packing, you've got a concealed weapons permit, and you're in a bank, your bank, and some robber comes in, two guys come in with guns, has all of you get on the floor, and they're going to rob the bank. You'd be nuts to try to intervene. Let them take the money. It's insured. Yeah.
Of course, the only time that you would intervene is if your death is imminent.
If they're shooting people.
If they decide to pick you up, put a gun to your head, and use you as an example, that's a different story.
But exactly.
Of course, and anybody that's taken any advanced firearms training, that I would recommend to any gun owner, particularly because we have millions of new gun owners across this country, forget the political reasons why they may want guns. There are 8 million new gun owners out there who I hope to God are taking some form of training, whether it's just basic instruction at their local range or some form of advanced training. I hope they're getting some skills. I know a lot of people don't want to get out. In some states, they can't get out right now to do that. But there are tips and techniques that you can use at home to train with an empty firearm, for example. But anyway, I hope people are learning those skills. But yeah, I mean, any trainer worth their salt will tell you, don't, you know, this is only to be used as a last defense should you or a loved one or maybe whatever, whoever is with, is in imminent danger of dying. You're going to die if you don't pull your firearm.
And isn't it true that some countries that would love to see our demise have not tried to invade us because they know every gun holder is a soldier?
Yeah, well, pretty much. There's that quote. I don't know if it's attributed accurately or not, but from one of the Japanese generals or admirals that said we would be foolish to invade the United States. It's impossible because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. And they're absolutely correct about that.
That's right.
That is, in fact, the purpose of the Second Amendment. And when you hear, by the way, the anti-gunners say, well, the Second Amendment, all they had was muskets. Well, all they had was a quill pen and parchment paper. So I guess I shouldn't take what you just typed seriously. But regarding that, to suggest in some way, shape, or form that the Second Amendment didn't allow citizens to carry the weapons that were necessary to win a battle, which they had just fought, is ludicrous. You would have to believe that they themselves wanted inferior weaponry to fight the most powerful army on earth at that time, which was the British. So, I mean, to suggest that this is not rocket science, get your head out of the news media, quit paying attention to the lies, and read the Federalist Papers, read the Constitution, read the Declaration of Independence to your children. Quit being woke and really wake up and find out. Go back and do your research. It's not hard. It's all out there for you.
And let me ask you this on a subjective question, Mark. What has happened to an individual who passes a gun background check, goes and buys his gun, and then decides to kill 10 people? What is leading up to this for them to want to even do this?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, there again, I go back to the fact that evil exists. And people make these decisions, you know.
Out of the blue, I mean, if the person passes this gun test, that means he has no prior, right?
Correct. Well, see, here's the fallacy. Background checks look back, don't they? Background checks. They look back. They don't look forward. It's kind of like a credit report.
But how can they?
They can't. And that's one of the things. That's why when you hear, this is disingenuous. Go back to Virginia briefly. Let me take you to the screams for gun control in Virginia. How we need to ban assault weapons, how we need to get this bill passed, how we need to, you know, rid ourselves of these quote-unquote weapons of war, when in fact they point to the two worst killings in the state of Virginia. I hold Virginia near and dear. I graduated college there. My sister and brother-in-law live there. Both of my nieces and nephews were born there. So it's an old home of mine. So I take this stuff personally. I feel for the people that live there. And I lived in Virginia Beach. I've been in that courthouse. This individual passed a background check and used a handgun. He used a Glock handgun to commit his murders. He didn't use a quote-unquote weapon of war, an assault weapon. Shuen-Wei Cho at Virginia Beach killed 32 people in less than 12 minutes.
Gosh.
With a Glock 19 and a Ruger or a Walther P-22 caliber gun, two handguns.
And had enough cartridges, just kept loading up again.
It doesn't matter. Would
Crazy.
You be okay? Oh, so you want to ban a 10-round? You want it to, instead of a 15-round magazine or a 20-round magazine, you want to make it 10? So I'll carry twice as many magazines. Does that make you feel better?
And then you had that whack job who went to the top of the Mandalay Bay a couple of years ago,
right,
and killed all those people. I mean, what?
We still don't know anything about. By
we don't. We don't.
That's fascinating.
It is a weird story.
Very weird story. And like you and everybody else, listeners, I know you remember this, but we remember when the FBI just cut it off. They cut off their press conferences. They were done. We know nothing.
We were on the air that night when Tommy had told me, you know, there's a couple people shot in Las Vegas, and those numbers kept going up, up, up. It was crazy. Mark, we're going to come back and chat some more with you. You can tell us where people can listen to you, and we'll take phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.